All right, Rabosai. Good morning. Let's begin. New parak today, Baruch Hashem. Today's daf is daf lamed. Excuse me. We are starting from the Mishnah. Shvuah Se'idus. Rabosai, we're beginning with a new topic now called Shvuah Se'idus. So Shvuah Se'idus, we will see. If you look at the top Rashi, Rashi says, before we get into the whole Divya Maskel, he says, Shvuah Se'idus, v'chsev v'hu eid, so again, we're talking about over here. Shua Sa'idus is I have a case in Beis Din against Reuven, and I feel that Shimon and Levi have testimony. Excuse me, Shimon and Levi have testimony which can benefit me. So they claim they have no testimony on my behalf. I can make them take a shvuah. I can make them swear that they don't know any testimony on my behalf. If indeed it turns out that they swore falsely, that's called they violated a shvuah sa'idos, an oath about testimony. An oath about testimony. And the halach is, as we'll see, they bring a carbon olev yored. So now the Mishnah is going to discuss who this shvuah applies to. So shvuah se'idus, noheges ba'anoshim v'lo b'noshim. It applies to men and not to women. Which I will say is logical. Why? Because at the end of the day, this is a shvuah about giving testimony. Testimony can only be given by men and not by women, as we'll discuss. B'rechokim v'lo b'krovim. Only to people who are unrelated, but not to people who are related. Because once again, they can't give testimony. B'ksherim v'lo b'psulim. For people who are kosher, not for people who are apostle. They don't know, I guess. And it only applies to people who are fit, who are capable of giving testimony. You could take this oath in the presence of Beis Din. You could take this oath outside of Beis Din. Mipiatzmo means assuming that you are articulating the Shavua yourself. But again, Rabbi says, you saw in yesterday's daf, there's a concept of a shvua mipi achirim. What shvua mipi achirim? Someone else articulates the shvua. Then what? I say amen. It's as if I have said it myself. Mipi achirim in chayovin at shichabru bahen bebezin div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Rabosai, that as much as I could have a shvua mipi achirim, I could go ahead and have someone else articulate the shvua, and I answer amen to that shvua, that works as if I said it. Rabbi Meir says that only works if administered in front of Beis Din. The Chum say no. Bein mi piatzmo, bein mi piachirim, einon chayoven at shiachapru bahen bebeis din. Rabbi Meir comes along the Chachamim, and the Chachamim say, whether you are taking this oath yourself, whether you are going ahead and having this oath administered by others, Shavua Sa'idus could only be administered in Beis Din. So we'll say fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Weiter, v'chayovin al zadon shvua, and I will say one is obligated, or I should say one is liable. Ultimately, even if one takes this shvua intentionally, in other words, let me say that a little bit better. One is chayiv, even if one intentionally takes this shvua, knowing full well that they do in fact have eidus. In other words, you're chayiv for a carbon olev yored, even if you intentionally lied, which I will say is quite unique, because up until now, any time there's been karbanic liability for a shvua has usually been in a case of unintentional violation. What the Mishnah seems to be telling me over here is that halacha l'maase, even if I intentionally violated the shvua eidus. So Reuven comes to me, says, Silber, you know eidus for me? I say, no, I don't, and I'm lying. I do, and I know that I'm lying. I'm still chayiv a karban olev yored. Next, Bashigasa im Zadon Ha'edus. Now listen, this is an interesting case. Shigasa Zadon Ha'edus is the following case. Let's say again, I know full well that I'm lying, meaning I know that I do know Edus on behalf of Reuven. I'm lying, but I'm a shogig. Bosta, what am I a shogig about? I'm a shogig about the liability for a shvuas ha'edus. So I don't know the punishment for a shvuas ha'edus. Bosta, that's called shogig, and therefore again, in that case, I will be chayiv as well. Ve'einan chayovin al shigagasa. But I will say, I am not chayiv for a full-blown shogeg. If you look at Rashi in the Mishnah, ve'in chayovin al shigagasa, it's about halfway down the page in Rashi. Im shogegim heim legamre, kisvurim shala in yodim lo eidos, va'achakach niskeru, shayanusin heim, lo karina bu nishpan l'shagas. We'll say, this is a case, well, let's say I'm a full-blown shogeg. What's a full-blown shogeg? I thought I really didn't have any eidos on behalf of Reuven. And then it turns out that what? Later on, I remember that I do. So then in a case like that, that's called a regular shogeg. In that case, I will say, ultimately, again, I will be potter. Umayin chayovin. So we'll say, so again, what is it that we're chayiv? Or in other words, azadon shvua. So in any case where the Mishnah said that one is chayiv, for intentional violation of the shvua, what am I chayiv? Karban ola viyoreit. So we'll say, I am chayiv, ultimately, again, a karban ola viyoreit. Good. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara goes right to Minhani Mili. We'll say, from where do we know this? Now, from where do we know what? So the Gemara starts off by asking, from where do we know that a woman is not permitted to give eidos? Remember again, the Mishnah began by saying that the Shvua Sa'idos applies to men, but does not apply to women. Bipashtos, the reason for that is because women don't give testimony. Women can't be an aid. So from where do we know that a woman cannot serve as a witness? To which the Gemara says, the Tanur Rabbanan, Va'amdu Shnei Ha'anoshim. The Pasuk says, the two men will stand. The two men will stand. Now the Pasuk says, Va'amdushnei Hashem Shalom Ariv Lefnei Hashem. So he says the Gemara, Be'edim HaKosav Medaber. Interestingly enough, as much as one would not have necessarily thought that from the context of the Pasuk, but the Gemara understands that the two men standing is a reference to witnesses. To witnesses. So the Gemara says, I will say, how does the Torah describe the witnesses? Va'amdushnei Ha'anoshim. Anoshim refers to men. Therefore, the Gemara seems to be dashing over here. Anoshim velo noshim. Men and not women. So the Gemara says, Be'edim akasim medaber. The Pasuk is talking about witnesses. So the Gemara says, Be'edim o'ima ela b'bali dinin. Well, how do you know that? How do you know that we're talking about edim? Maybe the Gemara is talking about bali dinin, right? Maybe the Gemara is talking about the litigants themselves. Kishu omer. Asher lahem hariv, because when the Pasuk says later on, those who have the fight, those who have the argument, are elu bali dinin. So it's actually quite interesting. The Gemara is like dividing up the Pasuk over here. It's va'amdu shnei ha'anoshim, the two men will stand. The Gemara is positing those two men refer to the witnesses. Asher lahem hariv, who have the quarrel with one another. The Gemara understands that that refers to two other men who are the people ultimately, again, who have the actual argument with each other. So the Gemara says, Ashalam Arif, Hari Bali Dinin, Amar, Hamani Mekayim Anu Shnei Anoshim. So also when the Pasuk says that the two men will stand before the Beis Din, who is that a reference to? Be'edim HaKosav Medaber. They both say that refers to the witnesses, and therefore you see the Torah refers to the witnesses as anoshim, as men. So from here we see that only men can serve as witnesses and women cannot. Bimnaf shecholomer, and if you would like to say the following, ne'emar kan shnei, it says over here, both say shnei, by shnei anoshim, ne'emar lahalon shnei, and it says later on, api shnei edim. Right? So it says shnei later on, ma lahalon be'edim, just like the second shnei is a reference to witnesses, afkan be'edim. So too over here, va'amdu shnei ha'anoshim, is a reference to witnesses as well. So the Gemara says, mayim nafshecha lomar, what does that statement mean, if you would like to say, v'chitema midalo kasav v'asher lahem hariv, kulikra be'balei dinan mishtoi. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, what does that last phrase mean? Perhaps you'll say the following. So the Gemara says, since if it wouldn't have said Asher Lahem Hariv, I would have said that the entire Pasuk ultimately is referring to the Balei Din. In other words, the Rabbo said, at the end of the day, the simple way to read that first pasuk of Va'amdu Shnei Ha'anoshim Asher Lahem Hariv is not to place a comma between Shnei Ha'anoshim and Asher Lahem Hariv. The Pashtos is referring to the same people. So the Gemara is saying, even if you don't like my drasha, that Va'amdu Shnei Ha'anoshim refers to the witnesses, Asher Lahem Hariv refers to the litigants. Okay, there's another way to prove it. Ne'amar Kan Shnei, V'ne'amar Lahalon Shnei. Ma Lahalon Be'edin, Afkan Be'edim. So it says over here, I will say, by Shnei, Shnei Anoshim. It says later on, by Shnei Edim. Just like Shnei in the second Pasuk refers to the witnesses, so too Shnei in the first Pasuk refers to witnesses as well. So it seems to be based on what the Gemara is saying over here. We're learning out the concept of the fact of the fact that women cannot be edim from the simple pasuk va'amdu shnei ha'anoshim, and the drasha seems to be anoshim velo nashim, men and not women. Okay, tanya idach. So we have another brisa that supports this. What's the other brisa? Tanya idach va'amdu shnei ha'anoshim be'edim akasav medaber. So we'll say another brisa that supports this same idea. Pasuk says the two men will stand. So the pasuk is talking about witnesses. So you're saying it refers to witnesses, but maybe not. Maybe it just refers to litigants. I don't understand. Why would it just say referring to litigants? Only two people could be litigants, but three cannot. In other words, it doesn't make sense to place a cap on the number of litigants in a particular case. Furthermore, if you would like to say as follows, Nemar Kanshnei, V'Nemar Lahalon Shnei, it says over here, I will say, V'amdu Shnei Ha'anashim, and it says later on, Api Shnei Edim, Ma Lahalon Be'edim, Afkan Be'edim. Just like later on, it's a reference to Edim, so too over here, it's a reference to Edim, to which the Gemara says, Mayim Nafshecha Lomar, what does it mean if you want to say, maybe you'll say that the first pasuk is a reference to the litigants, right? The plaintiff and the defendant. To which the Gemara says, "Ne'amar kan shnei v'ne'amar lahalon shnei." You could fall back on a second drasha. It says shnei over here, amdu shnei ha'anoshim, and it says shnei later on, va'amdu shnei ha'edim. So apish shnei edim, ma lahalan be'edim, afkan be'edim. Okay, so we'll say, Tanya Idach, we're just quoting multiple brisos that all support the initial drasha. The initial drasha of Va'amdu Shnei Ha'anoshim, the two men are referenced to Edim, will stand before Beis Din. Ultimately, again, darshaning from here, Anoshim Velo Noshim, that the ability to be witnesses is something that is for men and not for women. And we're just quoting, again, multiple brisos which support this same assertion. Tanya Idach, another brisa, Va'amdu Shnei Ha'anoshim, Beid Makasav Medaber. The Brisa says, now the two men will stand. Beid Makasav Medaber. At Omer Beidim O Eino Ela Bavali Dinin. So how do you know it's referring to witnesses? Maybe it's referring to litigants. So the Gemara says, V'chi Anoshim Ba'in Ledin. Noshim Ein Ba'os Ledin. But one second, does that make sense? Would we say that it's only men who come to be litigants? Women can't be litigants. That's not true. A woman could be a litigant for any case. To which the Gemara says something very interesting. And furthermore, if you'd like to say, it says shnei over here, and it says shnei by edim ma lahalon beedim, just like in the second pasuk is talking about witnesses, afkan beedim, so to over here is talking about witnesses as well. Mayim nafshe chalomar, I will say, what does that phrase mean? Im nafshe chalomar, v'chi tema, isha lav arche mishum kol kvod abas ha-malach pnima. So I'll say, maybe you'll say that's what, maybe even though a woman can give test, can be a litigant, perhaps it's not tsanua. Perhaps it's not tsanua. I will say the concept of kol kavod abas ha-malach pnima is this idea that Chazal often quote with this idea that sometimes a woman should not insert herself in an incredibly or dramatically public setting. So perhaps I would say, and again, obviously, kol kavod abas ha-malach pnima, which is a fascinating discussion in and of itself, obviously is also exceptionally societally based. But the idea that Gemara is suggesting over here is, I would have said that even though, of course, a woman can be a litigant in a case, maybe she shouldn't show up in Beis Din. Maybe it's not sanua for her to show up in Beis Din. Ne'emar kan shnei v'ne'emar la'alon shnei. Ma la'alon be'edim, af kan be'edim. Just like it says, so therefore, Abba said, we keep falling back on that second drush of shnei shnei. It says shnei ba'edim, and therefore, amdu shnei anashim is a reference, ultimately, again, to edim as well. So Abba said, bottom line, is we keep on having the same drasha over and over, which is amdu shnei ha'anoshim, and we have at this point in time multiple times and successfully proven that va'amdu shnei ha'anoshim is a reference to witnesses, and therefore the Torah dafka calls the witnesses anoshim to teach us that it is men who can serve as witnesses, women cannot. And therefore, again, looping back to our Mishnah, therefore when it comes to Shvua Sa'idos, obviously Shvua Sa'idos can only be imposed upon someone who has the ability to give testimony. But someone who does not have the ability to give testimony ultimately, again, cannot cannot have the Shavuos Eidos placed upon them. I want to also just remind you, Said pointed out to me, the actual time for the start of the fast is 6:13. Good, 6:13. So, 13 minutes. Good, good. Baruch Hashem. Okay. Said's also changing the time that Shabbos ends. And Yom Kippur is ending an hour earlier this year. Baruch Hashem. He wields a lot of power. A lot of power. Baruch Hashem. Okay, so let's go weiter. So says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. So we'll say, now we're going to do a couple of, this for the next block, the Mirat Hashem, is actually going to be nice because we're going to go back to like a little bit of what we'll call like regular sugyas, so to speak. So we'll say, now we'll get into some of the mechanics. It's actually interesting, some of the mechanics as to the way that Beis Din works. So va'amdu shnei ha'anoshim, the two men will stand. So now that we've proven that those two men are witnesses, so the Gemara Darshan's over here, so this is interesting, after we prove that they're witnesses, right, the Gemara takes a step back and looks at that pasuk as referring to litigants. Mitzvah bali dina shiyamdu. There is a mitzvah upon the bali dina, mitzvah upon the litigants, that they should stand. That ultimately, again, when having their case adjudicated, they should stand. Amar Rav Yehuda, shamati shemetzel ha'hoshiv v'shnei moshivin. So Rav Yehuda says, but I heard that if the Beis Din wants to seat both of the litigants, they have the right to do that. But what is aser? So the Gemara says, eizuhu aser, shelo yehe echad omid ve'echad yoshev. We'll say what you can't do is, you can't have one litigant standing and one litigant sitting. We're not going to get into a discussion over here about the fact that Beis Din is obligated to create a level playing field for both litigants, that no one should feel that they are given any kind of preferential treatment over the other. So again, as much as Va'am Dushan teaches us that the litigant should stand, if Beis Din wants to seat both of them, that's absolutely fine. And furthermore, but you can't have one standing, one sitting. You can't have one guy that Beis Din says, sure, talk as much as you'd like, and the other guy who they say, can you please be a bit more concise? Tan Rabbanon. So the pasuk says, with righteousness you shall judge your fellow. The Rabbah says you shouldn't have one person standing, one litigant standing, one litigant sitting. One is able to speak all he wants, and the other one is told, can you hurry it up? Davar acher. B'tzedek tishbo d'amitecha. Rabbah says another drasha. What does it mean that you should literally, b'tzedek, with righteousness, shall you judge your friend? Havedan es chavercha l'kaf sechus. So another drasha the Gemara brings down over here is that you should judge every person favorably. Well, the truth is really what it means, we'll say, is that you should give. See, we often translate it as you should. We often go ahead. I got it. I'm good. Don't worry. So we should go. I'm just kidding with you, David. So we should go ahead and not necessarily judge every person favorably, but give every person the benefit of the doubt. So we'll say benefit of the doubt just means. Judge every person favorably means that that you're always right. Okay, not everybody's always right. Benefit of the doubt, lekaf suchus, means I don't know the whole story here. I don't know everything. So because I don't know everything, I'm not going to pass judgment on you. Now, of course, in the absence of passing judgment, what happens? In the absence of passing judgment, every person has a cheskes kashrus. So if I'm not judging you negatively, then by definition, I'm judging you favorably. So sometimes it's just about reserving judgment, not passing judgment, recognizing that more often in life, I don't have the full picture. Tani Rav Yosef, b'tzedek tishpot amitecha. So the Gemara says, so Rav Yosef darshin, b'tzedek tishpot amitecha, with righteousness you shall judge your fellow. Im am she'itcha b'torah u'b'mitzvos, hishtadol adona yofa. So we'll say, interestingly enough, what Rav Yosef is picking up on is the use of the lashon of amitecha. What does that mean, amisecha? What does that mean? So Rav Yosef understands it to mean the contraction. Am she'itcha, he who is with you, b'toru u'mitzos, hishtadol adono. Dafka someone, Rav Yosef, who is amitecha. In other words, there may not be an obligation to judge every person favorably. There may not be an obligation to go out and give every single person the benefit of the doubt. Now, it might be good, just als one's midos, to be able to do that. But to whom does the biblical obligation devolve upon? Am she'itcha b'torah u'b'mitzvos. Those ultimately, again, who are with you in the observance and in the reverence for Torah and mitzvos, those are the people ultimately, again, you should give the benefit of the doubt, you should judge favorably. The idea being that someone who is embedded in a framework of Torah and mitzvos hopefully is a holy individual, hopefully is a spiritual individual, hopefully is a good individual, refined individual, and therefore they are by definition deserving of your kaf suchos judgment. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ula breid rav Eloi, ahava hava leidina kamed rav Nachman. Listen to this case. Ula, son of Rav Eloi, had a case, had a judgment, a din Torah, in front of Rav Nachman. Shalach le Rav Yosef, so Rav said, listen to this. So Rav Yosef sent a fine message to Rav Nachman. Ula chaverenu amis batorah uba mitzvos. So Rav said, listen to this. Rav Yosef sent a message to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is the Dayan, and he sees in the docket that Ula's case is coming before him in the judicial docket. So he gets a letter, a message from Rav Yosef. Ula, our friend, is steeped, right? Ula is our friend, is steeped in Torah mitzvos. So Rav Nachman says, Amarlei, l'mai shalachli, why did Rav Yosef send me this message? So Rav Nachman, remember, is the Dayan. Dayan has to remain impartial. So ultimately, Rav Nachman asks, why did Rav Yosef send me this message? L'chanufelei? Ultimately, is he telling me because he's trying to slant judgment in favor of Ula? Hadra Amari said, no, I understand why he sent it to me. L'mishra b'tigre. Rabbi said, look at the last Rashi on the daf. L'mishra b'tigre. Ki depreshis in ba din achar lefanai afsuk as zetchila. The Rabbi said, as much as we do not give preferential treatment inside the courtroom itself, if a Talmud Chacham is coming ultimately for a din Torah, we will not give him preference inside the courtroom, but we will give him preference in the order in which his case is heard. So if a Talmud Chacham, if there are five cases in the docket, and one of them concerns a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, we move his case to the top of the docket. So Rav Nachman understood that Rav Yosef must have been sending this message to tell him, all his cases in the docket, move him to the top of the docket. Amad Beis Rabbo say, Inami, the other possibility is, Leshuda de Daini. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. We've seen this case before. If you take a look at the top Rashi, Inam Leshuda de Daini, Rashi says, Yesh din sheno tali bera'ayis or bera'iyas edim velo b'shua ele b'mash shalev ha'dayonim not eluschus ulechayiv. So we'll remember, again, we had this case before. Shuda de Daini means judicial assessment. There are certain cases that cannot be adjudicated based on testimony or based on proof. Just because fundamentally there's a lack of both of those things. So how do you adjudicate a case? How do you adjudicate a case when there's no testimony? And ultimately, again, when there's no testimony, when there's no proof, what's this called? Shudu Dani means the judges are vested with the ability to make a call. Meaning they're vested with the ability ultimately to make an assessment. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is as follows, which is quite interesting. That Rav Yosef was saying to him, thank you, Baruch Mishal, for perfect, thank you. Thank you. I need a bigger shtender over here. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says, the other possibility over here is that Rav Yosef was sending Rav Nachman this message just to say that if for some reason, you can't adjudicate Ula's case based on testimony or based on proof, I'm almost serving as a character witness. I want you to understand that at the end of the day, Ula is a good man. So remember that when it comes to Shuda the Daini, so ultimately, again, character witnesses will be of exceptional importance. Okay, Amr Ula. Ula says the following. Machlokis babali dinen. The machlokis that we mentioned before of Bitri Abhudin Lechachamim is only by litigants. The machlokis before about whether or not litigants sit or stand, that's by litigants. When it comes to witnesses, everyone agrees that the witnesses deliver their testimony standing. Where do we get this from? Because the pasuk says the two men will stand, and what do we just say before? We said that anoshim ultimately again refers to the witnesses. Amravuna. Machlokes b'shas masu matan. Furthermore, Rav Huna says the machlokes is where is when there is an exchange of osei maso matan, means when there is an exchange ultimately again between the Beis Din and the witnesses. However, Babishas Kemar Din Divrei Hakol Dayonim BiYeshivo Bali Dinen BaAmida. Rabbi said, at the time ultimately when the verdict is delivered, everyone agrees that what Dayonim BiYeshiva, the judges sit, Ubaale Dinen, and the litigants stand. Dichsiv VaYeshev Moshe Lishpot Es Ha'am VaYa'amot Ha'am. That ultimately, again, Moshe Rabbeinu sat to judge the nation, and the nation stood. Lishnachrina, but another possibility is machlokes b'shas maso umatan. The machlokes ultimately, again, is during the exchange of b'shas kimardin, but at the time of the delivery of the verdict, divri akol dayanin b'yeshiva u'ba'alei dinin ba'amida. We'll say in this version, it's not the Eidim, but rather, again, it's the ba'alei dinin. So everyone agrees, the judges sit, the ba'alei dinin, the litigants, right? The litigants stand. So the Gemara says, da'ha Eidim ki gemar din damu. Because Rabbi said, ultimately, again, when the witnesses give their testimony, that's like the equivalent, ultimately, of the Gemara Din, uksiv buhu, and it says, va'amdu shnei ha'anoshim. And ultimately, again, it says that the witnesses will stand. So Rabbi said, therefore, we see that halacha l'maisa, again, at the time of the Gemara Din, halacha l'maisa, the ba'ali dinim, ultimately, again, the litigants stand, the judges sit. At the time the witnesses give their testimony, they stand as well. Was it just one moment?
They
sit, they stand as well. 6:12. Oh no. Good. Okay. I'm not going to get to the fourth, but okay, good. Was I bite? Divisu Rav Huna, Habile Dina Kamai Rav Nachman. So we'll listen to this case. The wife of Rav Huna had the following case, had a din Torah in the front of the basin of Rav Nachman. So we'll say, it's actually a fascinating case. Amar Heichi Navid. So we'll say, Rav Nachman had the following problem. What's the problem? What should we do? I ikum mikamo. So we'll say, if I stand up in front of her, now remember again, the Gemara is operating. Well, we'll discuss in just a moment. So we'll first discuss what Rav Nachman's, what his issue is, and then we'll discuss why it's an issue. So therefore, again, the wife of Rav Huna has a din Torah in front of Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman is unsure what to do. If I stand up for her when she comes into Beis Din, I komikama mistatman ta'anase. So if I stand up for her, what's the problem? The problem is, it's going to shter the other litigant. Because the other litigant is going to see that what? I'm standing up, I'm giving kavod to the wife of Rav Nachman, which seems to tilt the case in her favor. So the Gemara says, Mistatun tama se de baldina. Lo iko mikama. If I don't stand up in front of her, eishes chaver, harehi ki chaver. Well, see, it's actually incredible you saw. The wife of a Talmud Chacham, is like a Talmud Chacham herself. Which Rabbi says is actually quite a fascinating idea, because what it means is that in certain respects, the same kavod that we give to Talmidei Chachamim, we have to give to the wives of Talmidei Chachamim as well. So if not to not stand up for when she walks into the room, ultimately, again, would be an affront to her status as an Eishes Chaver. So Rabbi says, listen to this. What does Rav Nachman do? Amar Lei L'Shamei, this is amazing. Tsei Ve'efrach Alai Bar Avza. Here's what I need you to do. When the witnesses are coming in, when the litigants are coming into Beis Din, send a goose fly into the Beis Din. V'shade iloi ve'arkem. And what's going to happen? I'll go ahead and I'll stand up, it makes it look like I'm what? Either trying to avoid the goose, catch the goose. The idea is that he's saying to his attendant, give me an excuse to stand up. So this way, again, I'll stand up when she comes in, but what? It won't be noticeable that I'm standing up out her covet. Again, so I'll fulfill my covet obligation towards her to stand up. But it won't be noticeable that it's an act of covet for her, because it's being cloaked by the fact that I'm standing up for something else, and therefore I won't stare at the tightness of the other balding. I, Bahamar Mar, Machlokes b'shas maso matan. But one second, we said before, the machlokes was only about during the actual give and take of the litigation. About b'shas gemardin divrei hakol dayana b'yeshiva u'ba'alei dinin ba'amida. But one second, but we said before that when it comes to the gemardin, everyone agrees that the dayanim sit and the ba'alei dinin stand. So how would we address that piece? To which the Gemara says, look at Rashi just a moment. Dayanim b'yeshiva, v'haba lachlo kavod, hechi avid dekoim. So we'll say at the end of the day, if somebody wants to go ahead and give kavod, how would you do that if the Bali Dinim themselves are standing? The Yosef Kiman Deshari Masaneh. Because the essentially what Rav Nachman would do would be to stand up in a way, to stand up and not fully stand up, to stand up like one who is tying their shoes. So we'll say when you stand up like that, so the Ma'i say, I'm not fully standing up, but I'm standing up enough to be a display of kavod. V'amar, ish ploni ata zakai, ish ploni ata chayiv. So we'll say one could go ahead, the dayan could deliver the verdict with that type of posture, not standing fully up, but kind of crouching a bit, meaning standing up, but bending down. This would satisfy the obligation of one hand of yeshiva, of sitting, but on the other hand, would give him the opportunity to give kavod as well. Amar Rabbi Bar Afuna, Haitzur Amir Rabbanan, the Amaretz, the Islay Dina Bahadi Adalis. Well, it's another interesting case. Rabbi Bar Afuna said, if you have a Talmud Chacham, you have a Talmud Chacham, Zur Amir Rabbanan is a Talmud Chacham, who has a Din Torah, who has a case against an Amaretz. So we'll say again, so there's a scholar and an ignorant person who have a din Torah with each other. So what's the halacha? Mosvinon lei l'tzorim erabonim. We seat the Talmud Chacham. Ula'am ha'aretz nami arminon lei tiv. And of course, we also give the Am Ha'aretz the opportunity to be seated. V'i koi. But if the Am Ha'aretz chooses to stand, les lon ba. Well, that doesn't bother us. As Rabbi said, what the Gemara is saying over here is the following. When one of the litigants is a Talmud Chacham, at that point in time, we're going to seat him out of deference to his position. But if we're going to seat him, then what? Then what? We have to seat the other litigant as well. But if the other litigant chooses to remain standing, that is his decision. So we'll say, so meaning, and let's say he chooses to remain standing, doesn't that skew the Din Torah? So the answer is no. Why? Why? Because that's his choice. Meaning, we gave him the opportunity to sit. They could have both remained seated. If he chooses to stand, so that's fine, and it does not tilt the Din Torah in any way. Slant the Din Torah in any way. Rav Bar Sharvia, Havile Dina Kamid Rav Papa. So let's listen to this. Rav Bar Sharvia had a Din Torah before Rav Papa's Beis Din. Osve, so they seated Rav, Va'osiv Nami Lebal Dine. And what happens? They seated the other litigant as well. In conformance with halakas we just expressed before, that you never just seat one litigant, they seated both litigants. Asa shlicha de beidina batashbe. So it's actually very interesting. So the shlicha de beidina, like the court officer, came and kicked the litigant. Kicked the litigant. In other words, why did he kick the litigant? Because he felt that it was a chutzpah for this other guy to sit down. So what happens? Va'okme la amaretz. He caused the amaretz to stand up. Below Amarle, Rav Papa Tiv, and Rav Papa did not offer the Amaretz litigant to sit down again. So we'll say, see what's happening over here? Rav Bar Sharvia and the Amaretz have a Din Torah in front of Rav Papa. Rav Papa seats them both. Seats them both. The court officer, for whatever the reason, has some kind of issue with the Amaretz litigant, kicks him, causes him to get up, and Rav Papa doesn't offer to seat the other litigant again. To which the Gemara says, Hechi Avid Hachi, I don't think, how could Rav Papa have left him standing? V'hamistatman ta'anase, does that not shter the Ama Aretz's ability to properly advocate for himself? In other words, it's everything slanted now. He's standing. Rav Bar Sharvia is sitting. Rav Papa meymar amar, ihu ha'osvan shlichohu delamafayis minay. Rav Papa says, no, because at the end of the day, the litigant realizes that I'm not giving either one of them any preferential treatment. V'haraya, I seated them both. Obviously, this Ama Aretz has some type of issue, or that I should say, the court officer has some type of issue with the Ama Aretz. In other words, that's some type of interpersonal conflict that's occurring on the side that has nothing to do with the Din Torah. I seated them both, and therefore, by definition, I've done my job as a judge to create an even playing field. What's unfolding over here between the Ama Aretz and the court officer, that's not my issue. Va'amara barafuna. Haitzra min abana ba'ama aretz. V'islay dina ba'hadi adadi. So let's listen to this. If a Talmud Chacham and a Ama Aretz ultimately, again, have a Din Torah with one another, so what's talacham? Lo liktom tzura min abana ba'leisiv, mishum de mechse kiman de sader le'dinei. He will say, the Talmud Chacham should not show up in Beis Din first, earlier to take his seat in the court. The idea is that it's not appropriate that the Torah Mirabanan should be seated earlier than the Am Haaretz. Because we'll say, if he's there first and if he's already seated, then it looks like what? It looks like, again, that the proceedings are slanted in his favor. We'll say, however, this is only true if he didn't have a chavrusa with the dayan. But if he had a chavrusa with the dayan, and they had a kvias at a time they normally learned, hava kvias le'idne less lamba. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting, we'll come back and visit this. The Gemara seems to indicate over here that the fact that the litigant has a chavrusa with the dayan does not disqualify the dayan from adjudicating the case, which is quite fascinating. Again, we will revisit this in Meretz Hashem. So the Gemara says, because again, if they have a chavrusa, then when the other litigant walks in and he sees that Tumir Abanan is seated, it doesn't shter his tainus, because at the end of the day, he'll say, that's just part of their normal chavrusa. Va'amar Rama Barafuna, Haitzer Amir Abanan, Diyad Besadusa, Vizele Be Milsa, Lameza Lebedina, Vizutra Mine Lasude Kame, Lasude Kame, Lo Lazel. So let's listen to this case. If you have a Talmud Chacham who knows testimony, he knows testimony on behalf of someone. But the case is being tried in a Beis Din where the Dayanim are not of great stature as this Talmud Chacham. So I'll call him Talmud Chacham A. Talmud Chacham A knows testimony. But the case is being adjudicated by Dayanim B, C, and D. And Talmud Chacham A is a much greater Talmud Chacham. He's the Gadol Hadar. He's greater than B, C, and D. So it's a lack of kavod to him for him to come to this Beis Din to testify in a case that is being adjudicated by people who are not as great as him. What's the halacha? What's the halacha? We'll say the halacha is v'zila b'misal amezal abedina d'zuta minei v'asude kamei lo lezal. He does not have to go. He does not have to give testimony in such a situation. V'amar avshisha b'rei dravidi afana namitanin. We also learn this. We also learn this concept that sometimes, Rabbi Osai, when the performance of a particular mitzvah represents a lack of kavod for the individual, under certain circumstances, one could be exempted from that particular mitzvah. So says the Gemara, af ananami tanina, matza sak o kupa, right? If a person goes ahead and finds a sako kupa. Person finds, literally again, a bag or some type of receptacle. Ve'in darko lito. And again, it's not his derech, ultimately, again, to go ahead and pick it up. And I was supposed to say, it's an object that someone would find. But it's an object that a person of greater stature would not normally bend down to pick up. What's that locha? Hare ze lo yito. Ultimately, again, he's not obligated to pick it up. So we'll say this is what we call zakein ve'ino lefi kavodo. This is the idea. Ultimately, again, there are certain things that are beneath my dignity to go out and pick up, even though there's mitzvah hashavas aveda, there's mitzvah to return a lost object. But halacha lemaisa, if that object is something that I would not normally pick up based on my station in life, I'm not obligated for mitzvah hashavas aveda. So too, the Gemara is suggesting over here that if I know edus, but again, the case is being adjudicated by a court that is quote-unquote lesser than me, then I don't have an obligation to show up in that court to give testimony. One second. Hani mili mamona. So the case of Hashava Savit Rabosei is monetary issues. So I understand in monetary issues, I might not be obligated to go ahead and what? I might not be obligated to go ahead and pick up an object and return it if it's Eino Lefi Kivodi. However, Ava Bi Isura, Ein chachma ve'ein tivuna ve'ein itzel le'neged Hashem. But also, when it comes to matters of iser, my covet is not important. When it comes to matters of iser, the Gemara quotes the pasuk: there is no wisdom, there is no understanding, there is no itzel, there is no counsel le'neged Hashem. In other words, when it comes to matters of isurim, we do that which is right without regard for one's personal covet. So, if I know testimony on behalf of someone else, which very often entails isurim, so I have an obligation to give that testimony independent of my own covet. So the Gemara says, "Kamakom sheyesh chilul Hashem, wherever there's the possibility, ultimately again for chilul Hashem, ein cholkin kavod l'rav." Ultimately, Rabbi Yosef, we don't worry about giving covet to people. So by definition, again, the Gemara suggests, although by Hashavas Aveda, there may be a concept, ultimately, again, of zakin ve'ein lefi kavodo, that if it's not appropriate for me, I could overlook the object and simply simply pass it by. When it comes to testimony, if I know testimony, I have an obligation to give that testimony, even if the case ultimately, again, is being adjudicated in a basin which is of a lesser standing than I myself am. Simar goes weiter. Rav Yemar had testimony, he knew testimony on behalf of Mar Zutra. Asla kameda meimar, ozvinu lekulu. Amar Rav Ashi da meimar, v'amar ula macholkes v'vali dinin. So let's listen to this. So I'm sorry, let me go back. So they came before Amemar. So remember again, Rav Yemar knows Eidos from Mar Zutra. They come to the basin of Amemar, and what happens? Osvino Lekulu, Amemar seated everyone. He allowed both of the litigants to sit down. Remember again, so everybody's sitting down. Amrli Rav Ashi l'Amemar. Rav Ashi said to Amemar, 1 second, Vara Ma'ula, Machlokes Babale Dinim. The Machlokes, Rav Osef, about sitting or standing is only by the litigants. However, Ava Be'edim Divrei HaKol Ba'amida. But ultimately, again, everyone agrees that the Edim give their testimony while standing. Amrli. So the Shaila, of course, is, why is it that at the end of the day, you are seating Rav Yemar, right? Rav Yemar was one of the witnesses. Why are you seating him? Why are you seating both? At the end of the day, the witnesses stand. Amalei, listen to this. Hayasei v'hayasei. I will say, you're right. There are two assays. What are the two assays? Right? Assay number one is va'andu shnei ha'anoshim, that the witnesses have to stand. Assay number two, Rabbi Osai, is es Hashem Elokecha tira. You shall fear or you shall revere HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara Darshan is a Baba Kama, l'rabos talmidei chachamim. And Rabbi Osai means that one should honor talmidei chachamim as well. The act of seating Rav Yemar was an act of honoring talmidei chachamim and assay the covered Torah adiv. So Rabbi Osai, amazingly enough, Amemar made a call. He called an audible, right? What did he call an audible? He said, I have two assays in front of me. Assay number one is to go ahead, that the witnesses should stand. Assay number two is to give covet to Talmidei Chachamim. Therefore, again, I felt that the assay to give covet to Rav Yemar, in this case, seat him, trumps the assay, ultimately, again, of having the Edim remain standing. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. And Meretz Hashem will continue with more of these details, B'Shatov Matzlachas tomorrow. Shkoyach.